It's called The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard. And as usual, we think it is misnamed. Who's we? Well, we is Tom Baker, Law and Gospel here, talking to you on this Thursday, April the 12th, 2007, on Inspirational Christian Radio, AM 850 KFUO. This is a call-in program. As we go through this parable, you can call at 505-7850. That's the St. Louis area. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And of course, worldwide, you can use our email address at lawgospel@kfuo.org. Since February, we have been taking 1 hour each week to take a look at parables with the goal of renaming them. Why would we want to rename parables, and who named them in the first place anyway? If it's God's word that says this is the parable of the workers in the vineyard, who are we to say that God's word is wrong? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not God's word who calls it the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It's Matthew chapter 20, and in fact, even God didn't say it's chapter 20. The chapters, as well as the verse numbering, all came centuries later after the Bible was written. It became an easier way to find a passage in the Scripture, but the chapter headings and the numbering of the verses are not part of the inspired text. That's why sometimes you'll have a reading in church that starts off, say, 1 Corinthians 15, 9-16, chapter 16, verse 2. And you're wondering, why does it just go two verses into the next chapter? It's because some readings, the scholars now believe, the content is really part of the previous chapter, and the chapter heading was put in the wrong place. Even more so, the names of the parables are editorial additions by the editors of the translation. You may be reading a Bible that has no headings throughout the chapter. I'm looking at the New King James Version. And in fact, in the previous chapter, chapter 19, there are a number of headings just in one chapter. Marriage and divorce, Jesus teaches on celibacy, Jesus blesses little children, Jesus counsels the rich young ruler, and with God all things are possible. So now we move into chapter 20. And the first thing you see is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Chapter 20, and begins with verse 1 and goes all the way to verse 16. Where that follows is Jesus a third time predicts his death and resurrection. Siloam asks a favor, and two blind men receive their sight. Okay. Let's take a look at this parable of the workers in the vineyard. During the past weeks, we've taken a look at numerous parables, one each week. And the reason we're changing the title, it's because when you go to a movie and you see the credits, who appears at the top of the credits? Well, the primary actor, obviously. You don't have secondary actors that head the credit lines. Now, sometimes they put them in alphabetical order or chronological order, but normally, when you open up the newspaper and you want to go see a movie, the names of the actors in bold print are those who are the top actors. So, you don't normally have someone who is a secondary actor whose name is up there, unless he's just doing kind of a visiting cameo or something like that, and they want to make that point. Yet, on all the parables, we discover, at least 90% of them, that the name given by the editors normally refers to a secondary character or item in the parable. For example, we'll just give you one example of the 7 or 8 that we've done already. The parable of the lost sheep. The reason we don't like that is because that is not the primary character in the parable. The primary character in all parables ought to be Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes he may not be mentioned that clearly, but he's there somewhere. So we believe that the parable should at least have some reference, the title of the parable, to Jesus. And the way you get the reference is to take a look at the parable. In the parable of the lost sheep, who is Jesus? He is the shepherd. So we always like to put a noun that is describing Jesus Christ in the parable. And in that case, the lost sheep, Luke 15, you would have the shepherd. But then we always like to have an adjective, and normally we hope that the adjective points back to the cross, the resurrection, the passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's because most parables really are looking to God as the primary actor in the parables, and his primary action, of course, is not creation, but redemption. We normally get the adjective for the noun from the parable itself. And in this particular situation, you would have the shepherd coming back rejoicing. That word is found elsewhere in the Bible, but one of the main places it's found is in the book of Hebrews, in speaking about Jesus on the way to the cross. It says, "For the joy that was set before him, he went the way of the cross." Now, one normally doesn't think about going to a cross rejoicing, but Jesus did, not as an emotion, as an attitude, rejoicing that now that the Father's will is about to be fulfilled, the sins of the whole world were to be forgiven as the God-man died on the accursed tree. So the new title for the lost sheep is The Rejoicing Shepherd. And we've done that with a number of other ones, such as the parable of the talents, the great supper, the lost coin, the lost son, the persistent widow. We've gone through and renamed them. In a couple of weeks, we will draw this probably to a close, because we will then have available a way that you can purchase all of these hour-long renaming of the parables. So without further ado, let's begin with the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The first thing we do is we kind of take a look at the original language and see if we see anything there that might be helpful. As with most parables in Matthew, it begins, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." Now, the kingdom of heaven, we've spoken about this, but in case you haven't heard, there are three modes to the kingdom of heaven. Exactly, probably there are four different meanings of the word heaven. One meaning of the word heaven just refers to the sky, when God created the heavens and the earth. The word heavens there doesn't refer to the place where we're going after death. It refers to anything apart from the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, the planets, the heavens. That's one word, or one meaning, excuse me, of the word heaven. But when we're talking about the spiritual heaven, there are three modes to heaven. The one everybody normally thinks about, if you went to somebody and said, "What do you think of when you think of heaven?" They would almost invariably say, "Oh, a place where you can get whatever you want to eat, and it's peace, and there's no sin, no crying, no weeping, no illness, no death." That's the kingdom of heaven after Judgment Day, when the bodies rejoin with the spirits of those who have fallen asleep in Christ. There is another kingdom of heaven, though, and that's right after you die, when the body is separated from the spirit, the body into the ground, the spirit to Jesus. It's called the interim, I-N-T-E-R-I-M, and refers to that point where a person dies and is waiting for Judgment Day. The third kingdom of heaven, Matthew uses it for speaking about parables. Mark prefers the kingdom of God, as does Luke. And the Apostle Paul, his synonym for this entity is the Holy Christian Church. You see, Christians are now part of the kingdom of heaven. For the word kingdom does not refer to a place. As Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he also said, "The kingdom is within you." The word kingdom here refers more to a realm or a reigning, a ruling over you. Such as Britain, the rule of the queen extends wherever her subjects are, even if they are no longer within the confines of Great Britain. So also, we Christians have God as our ruler, our reigner. He is in our hearts. We are now part of the kingdom of heaven. The parables are certainly not talking about the heaven to which we are going, either in the interim or the heaven where we no longer sin. The parables are talking about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's the first point I want to make. So if you read a parable, you're really reading about how God is operating in his church. Parables, therefore, are not earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Parables are earthly stories with earthly meaning. It takes typical things going on earth, like a sheep herder going out to find a lost sheep, and applies it to what happens in the spiritual kingdom. You did not find Jesus. You did not choose him. He instead chose you, found you, and brought you home. That's called justification. Moving on to our parable, the second point we want to make is when it says the kingdom of heaven is like, the next word is not what the kingdom of heaven is like. In this case, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Or in another parable we looked at, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. And everybody thinks, oh, the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. We found out when we looked at that parable that the kingdom of heaven is not treasure. In fact, God's children are the treasure. When it says the kingdom of heaven is like, it is not the next phrase or the next word which is the kingdom of heaven, but the entire parable. For the entire parable talks about how God rules in his kingdom. It is impossible for us to know how God really is and how he truly rules apart from analogy. What is an analogy? An analogy is describing how God truly rules by comparing it to something that you are at least somewhat familiar with. Therefore, we get an inkling only of God and how he rules in the kingdom of heaven. It is not something that we can understand and see all the time. What we're speaking of here, then, is the fact that the kingdom of heaven is one in which God is ruling, and we're now asking, how is he ruling? In what way does he rule? He rules like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, the word landowner here really is the head of a house. So this is the master of the house. He probably owns a farm, and he's got a vineyard. Now, a vineyard is very important. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll find that a vineyard often represents Israel. But at this point, we're just staying on the temporal meaning of the parable. So this is a landowner who goes out early in the morning. Now, this word early is one in which, well, it's really early in the morning. And he's going out to do what? To hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, the word there for labor is not slave or servant. It actually is a word for a worker. A labor is an absolute appropriate. So he's got a vineyard and he wants to hire people to work in his vineyard. The first thing he does, he makes an agreement with them. So there's kind of a covenant with the laborers that he will hire them for a denarius a day. A denarius is normally a day's wages, and that would be appropriate. It's a coin, and they are going to get that amount of money if they work for the day. And he sends them into the vineyard. Now, if the parable continued and said at the end of the day, they received their pay, well, we would have quite a different parable than we're about to read. Because then we would say, okay, the kingdom of heaven is like this. God hires you, and he sends you out to work in the vineyard. And then as you work, you, of course, merit your denarius. so that at the end of the day, when you get it paid, you deserve it. This would be the kind of parable you would hear in any other religion. But of course, one of the items about parables is that a parable always, at least for Jesus, most always has a very ridiculous notion to it. A lot of the parables have a kind of thing in there that when the people in Jesus' day heard it, they would say, that is ridiculous. For example, the shepherd who goes out to find the sheep, what does he do with the sheep? He puts it on his shoulders and carries it home? That is ridiculous. This is a 100-pound sheep. In fact, just this morning, I was visiting a printer that we're using to do a cover for a book. Gary Quick, former member of mine, and he did a book of lambs and sheep. In fact, if you get 10 weeks of Just Words or 10 weeks of More Just Words, you will find 20 of his devotions in those two books. These are just devotions that he did as a layperson. He's actually an emergency room physician in Oklahoma. And the pastor there actually has him put those devotions into the newsletter. So each month he has them. And we're doing an entire new book of those that are kind of left over from the books that we've already done. They're called Of Lambs and Sheep. And his daughter drew a picture, not of Jesus carrying a lamb, but of Jesus carrying a sheep. It's humongous. And so we're working with the printer as to how to make a nice cover out of it. So it'll become the cover of that book. And when people see it, they will say, wow, I never thought of that. The sheep kind of has a smile on its face, while Jesus, one side of his face is in a grin with a tear in his eye. Because, of course, what this represents, the lost sheep, is Jesus taking your sins to the cross of suffering, looking to the joy that was set before him. Well, getting back to the point I want to make, this parable, if we stop at this point where he hires people to work for him, they work all day and get a denarius, well, looks like that would be fine. We believe it was about 6 a.m. that he did this, because in the next verse, verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So these people were inactive. They didn't have any work. The third hour in our time would, of course, be 3 a.m., which means the previous time would have been midnight, but that can't be. In this particular culture, they measured the daytime from when the sun came up, so that in reality, the third hour would be 9 in the morning. So at 9 in the morning, he goes out and he says to these people, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. Wow. Whatever is right, I will give you. Now, the word right is kind of interesting. In the English, one could say maybe appropriate, but it actually comes from the Greek word, are you ready for this? Justification. It comes from dikaio. That's the Greek, and it means righteous. It means, when we're referring to a man who is like this, it would be a righteous man. Now, that's kind of interesting, that many times in the parables, words are used, borrowed from the spiritual realm, and placed into this temporal setting. What is going to happen is, whatever is righteous, that I will, now, this is interesting, I will give to you. It's simply the word for giving, but already we're starting to get a kind of a sense of a gift. At the end of verse 4, it says, so they went. Verse 5 says, again he went out about the 6th and the 9th hour and did the same thing. So 6th and 9th hour, remember from 6 a.m., would be noon and 3. So he's hired workers for his vineyard, presumably at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, and 3. Now listen what happens next. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, "Why have you been standing around here idle all day long?" And they say to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." So they go into the vineyard. You've had people at 6, 9, 12, 3, and now 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, now that would be the administrator who has authority to pay those who were working. And he says to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." Now that's kind of interesting. From the last group to the first. Now you're ready? What happens next? Those who were hired at the 11th hour, of course, were the last group, and they came, and each one received a denarius. Whoa! That's the same amount that the people were told that if they worked all day, they would get. So, what would you think? Verse 10, this makes sense. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. And what did they say? They said, "You know, these last men have worked only 1 hour. So that's why we know they came about 6 o'clock. And you have made them..." Now, this is interesting. They don't say, "And you have given them an equal amount that we have received." "You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, "Friend," calls him friend, "I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" But he answered and said to them, "Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own, or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Have you got an idea how we may rename this parable? What is the meaning of this really quite ridiculous parable? And we'll talk about what would happen if you ever try this in the United States of America. Stay with us through the break.
Here's a happy AM 850 KFUO salute to our day sponsor on this Thursday, April 12th, 2007, Diane Westfall. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in thankfulness to God for her nephew David on his 22nd birthday. Once again, we say thank you to Diane Westfall of St. Louis, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsor, and our very best wishes to David on his birthday.
LCMS World Relief and Human Care, the mercy arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, cordially invites you to a celebration of hope to support the Temba Trust, a concert performance by St. Louis jazz artist Aaron Bodie, and a video presentation of the Temba Girls Choir of South Africa, April 23rd, 8 p.m. at the Sheldon Concert Hall, 3648 Washington Boulevard in St. Louis. You should RSVP by April 12th.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Communicating affection to your spouse through everyday actions can improve other aspects of your relationship. My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains.
The sexual relationship is a product of what goes on the other 23 and a half hours of the day. In other words, when you are close and when you are in love with one another and when you look out for one another's feelings and needs, then the sexual relationship is a natural outgrowth of that. I suggest first start with the romantic aspect of the relationship, and then I think they'll see some dramatic changes in the physical side of it.
You know, men and women often view the sexual relationship differently. If a woman doesn't feel emotionally close to her husband, she may be unable to enjoy the experience. A practical tip for men is to focus more on the emotional and romantic aspects of your marital relationship. You'll find that it'll go a long way toward improving the physical aspects of the relationship. For more on having a healthy marriage, go to family.org.
Are you tired of shallow Christianity? Had enough of trendy spirituality? Tune in each week to the White Horse Inn with Michael Horton for informed roundtable discussions of the Bible, theology, church history, and cultural trends. The White Horse Inn. Know what you believe and why you believe it.
Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Although death is a natural part of life, losing a loved one is always difficult, and that can shake our faith. On the next Focus on the Family broadcast, Dr. James Dobson encourages those who are walking in the valley of the shadow of death to sense God's comforting hand. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Are you looking for some spiritual fulfillment before going to bed? Are you offended by much of what you see on primetime television? Why not tune in tonight at 7 for the rebroadcast of An Hour of Issues, Etc. AM 850 KFUO rebroadcast An Hour of Issues, Etc. weekday evenings at 7. I'm Todd Wilkin, inviting you to listen again tonight at 7 for an encore presentation of Issues, Etc. on AM 850 KFUO.
Spring is busting out all over, and that's a good time to think about taking care of our earth. Visit the Missouri Botanical Garden on Saturday, April 21st from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon as member organizations from EarthShare of Missouri will present demonstrations and displays about conservation and environmental sustainability. And children can stop by the colorful volunteer interpretation carts to learn more about tropical rainforests and pollination. That's Saturday, April 21st at the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Tomorrow on Law and Gospel is the day everyone looks forward to. It's Friday, Open Line Friday, where you set the agenda, and you may ask any question you would like. In fact, we did receive an email here that would be appropriate for Friday. It's not on the topic today. And if you'd like me to see it at home, just email it at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. If you want to talk about this parable entitled The Workers in the Vineyard, the numbers are 505-7850. And toll-free 1-800-730-2727. What we're taking a look at is this parable of the workers in the vineyard in Matthew 20, beginning with verse 1, and we're trying to rename it so that what the entire Bible is about Jesus, that you might know that he is the Christ and that by believing you might have life in his name. So it seems to me that you ought to focus every parable on Jesus, if at all possible. And we're doing that in this particular situation, but the first thing you do before you rename it, you first need to interpret it, and then you need to, guess what? Apply it. And if you'd like to email right to our studio, it's lawgospel@kfuo.org. You need to email early because it takes a few moments for the email system to get through here and then for us, of course, to look at it and attempt to reply. We've looked at the parable, and it's a strange one indeed. If it happened in the United States of America, somebody could probably end up with a big fine. Can you imagine getting hired by McDonald's? You show up at 7 in the morning when they open up, and then people come at 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, you all get off at 6, and you all get the same pay. Well, you can understand how the Equal Opportunity Commission would not like that very much. And people would complain about that. Favoritism, sexism, racism, all these words may come up depending on the circumstances. But in this particular case, this is what this farmer does. Parables tend to do things that are really strange and radical and are quite shocking to the people who are listening to them because this would never happen. Just as the parable of the prodigal son, there is no son who would ever tell his father to drop dead so he could get the inheritance without being beaten not only by the father but by the other elders in the village. And yet that's how Jesus started that parable. A younger son comes to his father. In fact, a younger son, not the older son who normally gets the inheritance or the majority of it, he comes to his father and says, divide the inheritance up. Unbelievable. But the kingdom of heaven is like that. So also, how is the kingdom of heaven like this particular parable? The interpretation, I don't think, is too difficult to understand. It's not that the person who came at 6 in the morning ended up getting $100,000. No, he just got a day's wages, a denarius. So let's say it was, for a day, $10 an hour. Let's say it was $100 in our day. But the fellow who came at 5 o'clock also got the $100. So one could suggest then that the one individual who worked for 12 hours made less than $10 an hour, the fellow who came at 5 made $100 in 1 hour. Well, you know what you would do in the next day. You would just stay away from being hired until real late in the afternoon and then kind of go over to the hiring place and hope that the farmer shows up again. Well, how do we deal with this? The interpretation, I think, is kind of obvious. A farmer pays a day's wages to those who work only 1 hour in comparison to those who worked for 3, 6, 9, and 12 hours. Doesn't seem fair, does it? In fact, doesn't that seem kind of unjust? Is God that way? Is he unjust? You see, in some churches, especially early in the church, they wanted to devise a way in which God was not so unjust, so that people who were Christians all their life, suffering persecution, never falling from the faith, so that they had a better chance of having a higher level in heaven than somebody who became a Christian on their deathbed. Now, part of the discussion of purgatory was from that view, that people need to pay for the consequences of their temporal sins to some degree. You can't expect that God would just take somebody to heaven directly if he was only a Christian for, say, 24 hours. And by the way, I've had that experience. Not myself personally, but in being a Christian for 24 hours. I'm talking about, it is not at all unusual, and pastors will tell you this, that when you go to a hospital and you're doing a Bible study and having a prayer with your own member, that often there are other people in the room. And when those other people listen to you praying, how many times would they suggest, Pastor, could you say a prayer for me? And as you go ahead and say a prayer for them, guess what happens? They're very appreciative of it. And at times they say, you know, I've never really understood Christianity, but I appreciate what you were saying there. And this Jesus, can you tell me a little bit more about him? Would he take somebody like me? Well, you know, has he taken somebody like you? He took me. And so it's with great joy that when we have that opportunity, we can share the message of the gospel that Jesus died for the sins of that individual. Now, if during the night that person died and you went to see your member again and they said, Pastor, you won't believe this, but John, you know, he was in the bed beside me. He died last night. And they're wondering, how is he going to be buried? Would you bury him? And I would say, well, most certainly. even though he had never been affiliated with any Christian church prior to that time, and as far as he knew, he was an unbeliever, we knew that he trusted in Jesus that day. Now, can you imagine my member looking at me and saying, "Pastor, when I die, won't I have a better place in heaven than he did? Because he was just a Christian for one day." I would be really surprised if any of my members say that, but we may all think of it. But this parable totally decimates that view. Because behind that view, Jesus says something about the person who is complaining over the individuals who are getting the same amount of money. Here's what they says. The landowner says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own? Or is your eye envious?" Now that word is actually from the word for bad. It's bad. It's wicked. You're thinking evil things. Why? Because you don't like that somebody is going to be paid the same amount of you as you who has spent all this time in the vineyard. But that's the kind of God you have. You see, you have a God that each and every day you sin, yet he takes your sins each and every day and dies, not each and every day, but having died for them, they are forgiven in the blood of Christ. In a sense, none of us work in the vineyard totally, full-time, perfectly. We all fail. If you're using an example, it would be like going to work, and then this happened to me once. I was at Chrysler's, and I would be hired during the change of the shift, and it was about a two-week change as they were putting the new cars on the line, but a lot of times the line had to be cleaned, and I remember lying underneath part of the line, and I was taking paint off of the metal on the line, and I fell asleep. And when I opened my eyes, I looked up, and guess what? There standing was the foreman. Now, he could have fired me instantly, but he said, "Baker, stay awake." And boy, I was able to stay awake the rest of that shift. You see, we all are somewhat receiving more generosity than we should. But there's no doubt about it. In the Christian church, it certainly is something that is important to think about. That in Christ, we received wonderful, wonderful good news. All right, as I said, as I worked at Chrysler back then, that was a long time ago. I had about a half a year off between school because of certain other classes I took. I wasn't needed to take the full time. And yet, when I was working there, I got a lot of experience, particularly with those who were saying to me, "So you're a pastor? Can you help me with this or that?" I said, "Well, I'm just training to be a pastor. It's going to be a long time before I'm able to help you." But we did the best we could, and sometimes we sent them to our pastor. Going to the Bible is being sent to the head pastor, Jesus Christ. "Friend," Jesus says to you, "I'm doing you no wrong. You are going to be paid a full, not day's wage, but a full life of eternity wage. And it's not even going to be a wage because I'm going to give it to you. It is going to be a gift. Because as I saw how you were working in the vineyard, you really weren't doing that well. You made a lot of mistakes. You fell asleep. You took long lunches. Well, that's our life as a Christian. It's called sin. Why, each and every Sunday then we are able to look to God, repent of our sins, recognize we are poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So now, how do we apply this particular parable? It's somewhat of a strange story. It is a radical understanding of how people get paid who go to work. But you see, God is making a point. The kingdom of heaven is not like a regular vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is quite different. Because the people who come and receive all the benefits for which Christ died are those who did not work for them at all. In essence, who are we in the parable? If we're the ones who came at 6, then we are envious. I tend to think I'm the one that came at 5 o'clock, received full benefit, full wages, even though I did not deserve it, as did not you. It's of some note that if you're looking at the time of Jesus, who are the ones that are envious that Jesus is sitting and talking with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes, and saying that their sins are forgiven? Yes, it's the Pharisees. And remember the attitude of the Luke 18 parable of the Pharisee, "Thank God I'm not like others, because I do this, I do that." That this parable is directly talking to them, as it talks to you. How can we be envious of somebody coming into the kingdom of God, the Holy Christian Church, late in life, when all that we have received is indeed from a generous, gracious, and merciful God? You were given righteously, not because of your merit, but because of what Jesus Christ did. That's the key to understanding this parable. The landowner says he is going to give righteously, but he does so in a gracious way. Because in reality, all the work you were hired to do has already been accomplished by another, namely Jesus Christ. God does no wrong in giving the full benefits of salvation, because you see, in the area of justice, Jesus Christ truly did die for the sins of the entire world, not just for those who have been in the church a long time. There's no advantage, get this, there's no advantage for me being a pastor for over 30 years, in contrast to many of you that I'm speaking to right now who are the laity and perhaps have never taken a course in theology. There's no advantage I have, because heaven doesn't come because of knowledge. It comes because of faith. And the kind of faith that saves is the kind of faith that can be given not just to a baby, but even to one who is still in the womb, John the Baptist, who leaped for joy. Now we get to the crux of the matter. If this parable, which takes a typical temporal event, namely hiring people to work in the vineyard, if this parable is analogous to what heaven is like, then the key components in the parable certainly are not the workers. Why would you call it the workers in the vineyard? The key component, the key character, is the landowner. He's the one that makes all the difference. Or else it's just another story. As I said earlier, you could have ended the parable real early. They agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day. He sent them into the vineyard. And at the end of the day, he paid them a denarius. The kingdom of heaven is like that. That's the parable you read in every other religion in the world. It's the difference between the commonplace religions of the world in contrast to the radical, shocking nature of Christianity. Show me another religion where you get more than what you deserve. In fact, where you get everything when you have done nothing. Oh, I hear you out there. What do you mean we've done nothing? We go to church, we give offerings, we raise our children. Yes, yes. But you see, in every other religion, those things are prerequisites for becoming a member of that religion. But in Christianity, they are responses. Because your membership in Christianity, you had nothing to do with it. It was given to you as a gift, by grace, through faith, on account of Jesus Christ. This parable, though it's using a temporal situation because of its marked shocking difference from what normally goes on shows really how merciful and gracious Jesus Christ truly is. He's merciful because that means he does not give you the punishment you deserve, and he's gracious because he gives you what you don't deserve, eternal life, heaven, a full wage, even though you didn't deserve it. Therefore, you have two classes of people when they hear about this message. You have the unbelievers who become envious that others are getting what they did after all the work they did, and others didn't put in so much work. Or you get thankful, believing people who can't believe for the life of them that God has given them this gift, even though they have nothing in themselves and have done nothing, spoken nothing, or even thought right thoughts in order to gain this entire salvation. So how do we rename the parable? We first look for a noun that describes the key character. For example, in the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus was the shepherd. Well, how is he referred to in this parable? Let me read again the first verse of chapter 20, Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So, I think the term landowner would be appropriate. Now, later in the parable, of course, when he is going to pay everybody, what he does, he doesn't send out the landowner. He doesn't go out. Instead, he sends out the foreman. So you could talk about the foreman. If we're going to make a distinction here between the landowner and the foreman, then God the Father would be the landowner and Jesus could be the foreman. But of course, they grumble against the landowner, which of course is exactly what happened. So I think the term foreman would be more appropriate here. Because Jesus is the foreman who actually pays their wages. And the only reason he is able to pay them a full wage, as though they had worked all day, is because he died on the cross in order that that full benefit might be received by all who trust in him. And what did people argue? To whom did they argue when Jesus came on the scene? They not only argued with Jesus, they were really arguing with God the Father. They were saying to God the Father, this is not the kind of person and not the kind of work we expected of the Messiah. He should have come to defeat what? The Romans in that day. Or maybe in your life, you may be thinking he should have come to defeat my problems. How come I have so many problems, Pastor Baker? I'm a Christian. And yet I look around me and people who, some of them not even Christian, seem to have a lot better life than I do. Well, remember, these people who were only hired in the last hour, can you imagine the kind of day they had, waiting and waiting and waiting, hoping somebody would hire them? Even if they could work an hour, 1/12 of a denarius was at least something, maybe to buy a little bread for their family. Instead, they get hired by someone who pays them a full day's wages for only 60 minutes work, while others worked for 12 hours. What a difference. That's the kind of God you have. A God who is willing to take care of you, even though you don't want to really think that much about him. And that comes about because we sin day in and day out. And what's at the center of sin? S-I-N. Yes. I am at the center of sin. Me first. Now we have to find the adjective. If we're going to call him a foreman, what word in the parable could we find that we could put at the front of it to show really what Jesus Christ did at the cross? Well, there's a couple of things we could do, but we'll touch on one of them right away. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Boy, I kind of like that. We're envious. He's generous. Jesus is generous. In fact, it comes from the word for good. The word envious comes from the word for evil or bad or wicked. We're wicked towards God because we don't like the way he calls the shots. But when you look at your own life, wow, somebody can really be happy. So here's the title of this, in my opinion, rather than the parable of the workers in the vineyard, we call it the parable of the generous foreman. I don't know another parable where a foreman appears as the key character. You could also call it the generous landowner or the gracious landowner. By the way, phone numbers here are 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. If you would like a copy of this broadcast and you don't want to wait until we put them all together on a few CDs, you can actually download this. This is the first hour, and that is being downloaded and archived here at AM 850 KFUO. Just go to the internet tomorrow when it's downloaded, hit kfuo.org, go to Law Gospel, look under archives, and you've got it. You also, of course, can write me, and we'll be glad to send you a copy. Writing me is lawgospel@lawgospel.com. lawgospel@lawgospel.com. And there is a $5 charge, but the prices go down very quickly if you buy more than one CD, if you buy more than 1 hour. Our numbers here, therefore, for the next hour, when we're going to be dealing with some emails that have come in, and some of your questions, and it might even be on this parable, 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Matthew chapter 20, 1-16, normally referred to as the parable of the workers in the vineyard, but with our scenario, the parable of the generous foreman. That's generous foreman. I'm Tom Baker. I want to thank you so much for listening. As indicated, you can stay on for the following hour where we're going to be responding to some of the emails that we have received already this week, as well as some mail that we've received, and maybe some of your comments or questions we'll be able to take also if you just phone this number during the break, 505-7850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727.
Listen to Law God and bless. Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.